This week on the Ocean Cruises podcast, we're having a chat with Cheryl and Paul from Distant Shores. Cheryl and Paul are true cruising veterans. They've been living on the water for over four decades now and were the first people to video document their travels by sailboat for television. They're on their fifth sailboat now, overseeing the construction of an Orion 49, a custom-made aluminium expedition boat which is being built in the Netherlands. Previously, they spent many years sailing around the world on a number of southerlies. If you'd like to come sailing for a week with some of the most experienced cruisers in the world, such as Laura Decker, Brady and Alex, Dan and Kika, there's just four cabins left for the Odyssey Sailing Festival, which is taking place in Greece this September. Visit www.theoceancruisers.com/odyssey for cabin information. But for now, enjoy the podcast with Cheryl and Paul.
You know, it'd be a great place just to give like a brief summary of what you guys have done, because it spans decades. And is a good example of like how much you two have actually sailed. When I checked into the Azores when I did a Northern Atlantic route a couple of years back, one of your paintings was on the key wall there. And I looked and I was like, oh, I recognise that. And then underneath it had like four or five different years.
Yeah, I kept adding years onto it. And at 1 year I painted the whole thing over again and then put the old years back on it.
So. Yeah.
But no, yeah, our first trip to the Azores was way back in... What was that? 1990, I guess. Yeah, our first trip to the Azores.
Yeah.
And how many times have you been there? Was it four or five?
Four, I think, in the end.
Yes.
Four
or five. I'm not sure.
I couldn't find many paintings that had more dates on them. So I think you must be one of the most at this point. Yeah.
One of our favorite cruising destinations.
We've done nine crossings. So I guess one more the other way than through the Azores.
Yeah, but we started cruising in Azores. We do, but we started cruising back in 1989 with a boat we built ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any film on any of the YouTube of that because it was all shot in standard definition square that now looks kind of blurry. It's too bad all that film we got.
It was well before
YouTube,
the internet,
before high definition.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah. So we started producing sailing videos for television. We were on Travel Channel in the USA and around the world for many years. And we're still on in the USA on AWE, A Wealth of Entertainment, in the US and its territories, some in the Caribbean and Hawaii and so on. So we are still doing television. But YouTube is such a great format because everybody can receive it, where if people didn't subscribe to the television channels that we were playing on, we were also in Europe and around the world. And, you know, people couldn't see it unless they subscribed to the channel. So it's great. This way everyone can see the shows. And it's so wonderful to be a part of a community of many sailors producing videos on YouTube so that people longing to go cruising have a choice of different boats to follow and different budgets and
different
lifestyles. And it's wonderful. It's such a supportive community too. So great.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And everybody likes both of you in it as well, from what I've been told.
Oh, that's very so nice to hear.
It's nice to be liked. So, you know, you started doing this in like 1989. A fair while back, and you know, the concept of like traveling around the world on a boat then was really different because you don't have the luxuries that you have now, which is basically you can have everything that's in your house on a boat if you want, just adapt it a little bit. Whereas, you know, back then, like power limitations, solar navigation, what made you want to go into it? Because it's much different thing to what you're looking at now. It's, you know, there's a lot more danger involved and a lot more unknown.
Yeah, we didn't have a GPS when we started, so it was all regular navigation, dead reckoning
and sextant
and just sights of navigating down the coast and all that stuff before we headed off. But it still seemed like a great way back then to sort of explore and see the world. And it's been that way for us for years. We've been cruising pretty much full time for at least 30. The first 3 years we didn't even come back to Canada. And then after that, all our cruising has been sort of anywhere from 5 to 10 months of a year cruising and another couple months at home editing the TV shows. But now, as you say, you can do that on the boat.
Yeah, we used to have to come home with bags of tapes that would be then
Tapes.
go to a studio, and our whole 6 months' work would be like,
And at the airport, they'd say, "Let's put this through the scanner." No, don't
yeah,
put this. Are you
don't
sure it's
go.
okay for
Yeah.
that? Different
Yes.
times. It's
So we've seen a lot of
gutting that,
evolution.
some of the types of sailing that you would have done in like the 80s and the 90s and the types of boats. It's heartbreaking that you didn't have HD,
Yes.
because like that would actually be the most interesting footage to watch, really.
Some of the older stuff was great, and I'm sad that
Yeah.
we still can watch them on a DVD, as we did a lot of work to make them into television programs.
Yeah.
But and you kind of get used to watching it a little bit blurrier. It's kind of like think back on what looking at your phone, I guess. So
Yeah.
some of us still
But
watch on those tiny screens.
sometimes we'll use the old footage, but do it in a small frame within
Yeah, so
the
it's not on a
HD, so it doesn't
big
look
60-inch
quite.
TV. Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't
Then
look
it's
so
super blurry.
shocking. But no, it's been exciting though to see all the changes, both in sailing, navigation, and equipment and comfort, as well as, filming and video. It's really been fantastic. And people say, oh, things have changed and things have got ruined. It's so busy now, but things have got so much better too.
Yeah, probably
And
easier as well.
oh
A
yeah.
lot easier from navigation, us having Google Earth to be able to look at images of the
See where the
planet
rocks
lined
are.
up with the chart. It's
Yeah.
incredible.
It
Places,
is amazing.
some cruising grounds have even kind of got better because now you can see where everything is, and charts have improved so much so that you could do more tricky passages, like in the Bahamas, where there's a whole lot more access to different out of the way places that we didn't used to have. And then the return trips, we had that improved access. It was really great. That's been an improvement.
I think some of the places where you guys have sailed as well, especially in your last boat. I like your last boat a lot. I really like them. When you're getting into the Pacific, so if you're in like areas which are relatively uncharted or atolls and stuff like that, I've never been to those places, but I've seen some people, get out Google Earth and have a look where like the coral heads are and stuff like that, and that's literally saving your boat. So yes,
Absolutely.
it's crazy how much it's changed, even
Yeah, the
just like the
old.
last 10 years, really. The biggest change is
Yeah.
the last 10.
I
I
think
think
you're
so,
right.
probably,
Yeah.
because it was about 20 years ago when we first had electronic charts, but they were such a joke at that point. They didn't even line up with the real world. You'd see parts on the chart where you'd get to them and there's a 200 yard
Yeah, it looked like
cut.
you
It's
were
like the shoreline
driving
changed.
over the
With the E chart would show you driving over the land, and it's not right at all.
Yeah, but we were very fortunate. Our goal when we left with our first boat was to leave on by our 30th birthday. We built the first boot two-step from a Bear Holland deck, and we left the day of my 30th birthday, and
Nicely timed.
to yeah
Just
just
made
made it. And
it.
our 2-year sabbatical has become a 34-year lifestyle, so bad planning, I guess you could say. But it's been a wonderful journey, and I think we're very fortunate. We were fortunate that at that time that we could work because we were working in television, so we could work from the boat while we were traveling. And without the internet, it was hard for other people to do that. And there was always a concern about, that young people wouldn't get into sailing. And now there are just so many young people traveling and cruising because they can work on board through the internet, doing consulting or web design or so many wonderful creative things. And so I think we're lucky because we have such a mixed audience, because younger people, although we're in our 60s now, identify with us because we were able to cruise when we were in our 30s and make a living with a small boat, and have been able to make it a lifestyle and earn a living while we're doing it. And then, of course, we have a lot of older people that follow us, Because really, most of the people that cruise are retirees. You just don't see them on YouTube because they're not filming.
It's true.
And, making YouTube is way too much work.
Yeah,
I think YouTube is like all the young cruisers, actually. Like probably more so the case.
Exactly. Well,
you're right. And you know, we get emails now from people saying, "Oh, do you think I'm too old to go cruising? I'm 40." And it's like, whoa, it's because they're watching all these young YouTubers.
Maybe,
and
yeah.
But really, most people are retirement age. So most of the people that follow us are people about to retire, and they relate to us as well. So we try to do our angle is education. We feel very blessed to have lived the lifestyle that we do. And as we all know, cruising is such a great lifestyle. And so on our YouTube channels and our posts, we're always trying to not only share our adventures, but through them, show people, you know, tips and tricks for making the dream come true for them too, and how they can get the most pleasure and comfort out of their boats. And as we get older, comfort is a lot more of an important thing.
Yeah, very much. Yeah. That's fascinating. Do you know, I think it's really interesting that you, for just the duration of time that you've been actively cruising, and you've updated your boats as well, and you know, you've designing, you know, your own boat now, and you're building your own boat in Europe. You've seen a very specific set of changes in like the boat manufacturing industry. You know, when the charter market started to pick up quite a lot, and obviously boats then, you know, were designed completely differently. Maybe more so in Europe. I think some of the American manufacturers still make them like they did in the 60s and the 70s to a certain extent, a bit more traditional. But you've seen the industry like completely change. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, you've decided to build your own boat out of aluminium that looks like you could send it to space. It looks so durable, that thing. It's like you've gone in the opposite direction to the boat manufacturers in a way.
That's true. I guess there's always been the segment of boat manufacturing that applies specifically for charterers. Mm. They're almost not very useful boats outside of the charter business.
Yep.
Like a catamaran down in the Virgin Islands. It's more like a condo on keels.
Yeah, we just had a similar experience to you with the Sailing Odyssey with Navigar Yachting. We chartered a Bally 4.8, just got back a few days ago.
Oh, it's a nice one.
And it's the same thing. It was a six cabin, beautiful
six cabins,
boat.
Seven heads.
You know,
it's kind of not a very practical cruise.
Yeah.
Sun deck on the front, sun deck on the top.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Convertible cabin on the back. It's, they're great for what they do. I mean, they're not very practical when they are used and to move over to becoming a family cruiser. It's not that practical.
But it's a great, great experience and great boat. We do sail training a little different from what you're doing in that we do a lot of cruising seminars at boat shows, and people were always saying, you know, we've learned so much, but it would be great if we could be on the boat with you and get the hands-on experience. So we do a few weeks every year, usually on our own boat, but because we're between boats at the moment, we've been chartering, and just have a group of followers come, and it's very much a skill building experience, and we limit it to just 4 or 5 couples.
Last year we did Greece for a couple of weeks, and Netherlands for a week in a traditional Lemsterak, traditional Dutch
flat
boat.
Bottom.
Oh,
yeah.
Very cool.
That was a fun one. Yeah, it's a gaff rig and two swinging keels, one on each side as a like centerboard.
Centerboards.
Yeah. That was an interesting training.
Yeah, it was a fun.
It was for us too.
The first week we took it, it was a bit of a learning curve, but we did 3 weeks in the end over 2 years.
Very popular.
And the French canals and the BVI, and so we like those.
But what a great thing, the Sailing Odyssey. Congratulations on the success of that. We've talked to some of your captains as well as followers, and how exciting that you're doing another one in Greece coming up. So all the best.
Yeah.
You're giving everyone a great experience. It's really wonderful, Andy.
Yeah, mostly, you know, it sounds like a similar thing to what you were just talking about, where, you know, you have people asking you, Can we go sailing with you? Because that would obviously the best environment to learn how to do it by being on a boat with a bunch of people who've got a lot of experience in it. But then, yeah, the camaraderie of just getting like 10 cruising boats together with like, 10 skippers that love spending time with everyone. Yeah, like the atmosphere was just magical. It was
Oh, that's
brilliant. It was
great.
really
I
good.
can imagine. Great
Yeah.
idea.
But we just, so we did, we had the Bali 4.8. We're actually going to use the Bali 4.8 again in Greece. And it's a fantastic like vacation boat. If you're
It's
going to do a
amazing.
vacation, yeah, it's perfect for it. It's really good. Dan and Kika, who are also your friends, they were on the Bali 5.4, which is actually very similar to the 4.8. It's just longer and fatter. The configuration is the same. But yeah, the space in that boat is
It's
just
incredible.
crazy. It's like a big penthouse suite,
It
really.
is. The
The
must have been
multiple
quite
decks,
a
yeah, that would
change
be
for them
something.
from their
Yeah, for
boat.
them for sure.
But they
Right.
loved it. I'm glad they're carrying on with it. Yeah, we
Yes.
found it was really good, as you said, as a vacation boat, because we had 10 people, including us, and there were spaces that people could go off on their own, if they
Yeah.
wanted a little alone
Yeah, go up to
time.
the foredeck or go up to the flying bridge or
Yeah,
sit
that
out on the
was,
back deck. So, yeah.
we had yoga on the
Yeah, they are.
foredeck
Yeah,
and
they're great.
kitchen.
I think, yeah, they're making really good boats for what the, well, basically where most of the demand is, which is the charter market. I don't think there's many private users buying them. Not to cross oceans with anyway. Like, I think the Bali catamarans are
I wouldn't do
on
that.
anchor. Like, they are the best catamaran I've ever seen for on anchor.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there is no chance I would cross an ocean. I would not do a big downwind sail in a Bali
No.
catamaran. Like no chance. I wouldn't like my chances should that thing, end up in a bit of a wave. I just don't think it would
Yes.
work out on my side.
Especially when you're up
No.
on that flying bridge, any little
Oh
motion
yeah.
is,
Yes, it jumped around a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Anyway.
Yeah, they do throw you around a lot all the way up there. So,
But
all right, but first question, why did you decide to sell your last boat? Because, a lot of people, including me, would look at that and be like, that's the perfect boat. So what made you want to sell that and then even think about what you're doing now? Because it's so much work what you're doing, the design, build, commissioning, it's so much effort. So you took on a lot and you got rid of a really good boat in the process.
Well, I think it was just world circumstances. We had just come through the Panama Canal, all ready to start our South Pacific cruise, and it was February 2020. And
Oh, okay.
to run charters in the South Pacific, we had to update our STCW. And so we put the boat in the marina in Panama City and flew to the UK to upgrade our training. And then the world shut down and we
Yeah.
had to go back to Canada and we couldn't get to our boat for 8 months because borders were closed. And thankfully, the marina staff were fabulous. They watched the boat and changed lines if there was chafe and so on. But around that time, eventually we all realized it wasn't just going to be another 2 weeks. It was going to be long term. And the South Pacific was really shut down. And so we realized, we're not going to be able to go where we want to go for quite a while. And Paul has always wanted to have a metal boat, like right from before we built our first boat. And so we thought, well, if we can't go where we want to go, this is the time to build our truly custom boat. Our parents were going through some health issues, so it was a time that we wanted to be home more. Sorry, that was another reason. And then we just always wanted a custom boat. I mean, the Southerly 480 was a beautiful boat. You're totally right, and we would have been happy to carry on with it, but it just with circumstances, we thought if we're ever going to build a totally custom aluminum boat, now is the time. And it was a great time to sell a boat because people really wanted
Yeah,
boats.
very good point. Yeah.
And we put it up for sale thinking, oh, it'll probably take a year or so. And it sold within a couple of weeks. And it sold
And
to,
then we suddenly didn't have a boat.
Horrible reality.
Hadn't thought this
oh
through
my,
all
oh my gosh, we're between boats. We can never say boatless. We're between boats. But part of the deal, and it was great. The new owners were fans of the show. They didn't want to travel during COVID. They trusted that we
I'm
took
sorry
care
about
of
that.
It.
I wish they had come down because they missed the chance to do some fantastic sailing in the San Blas Islands of Panama. So
yeah, but they live in Seattle area, and we thought, oh my gosh, we're going to have to take this boat, you know, back again through the canal, because we ended up going back to Shelter Bay Marina when we
going through the Panama Canal,
because we thought
times.
We can't go anywhere, and it was, you know, Shelter Bay Marina is a cruiser's marina, so it was a great place to have to be isolated. And Juan Ho, the manager there, just created a bubble at the marina, so we were all free to wander around and have dock parties and swim in the pool and all that. So if we were going to be locked down anywhere, it was a great place. But the new owners just wanted us to put the boat on a ship, so we agreed that they wanted us to put it on. So there were delays with the shipping because of COVID and all that went on with shipping. The day we lifted the boat onto the ship, we flew to Holland and started work on Distant Shores 4. And it's been an exciting process.
Yeah, we didn't even go back to Canada. So at that point, we've been out of Canada for nearly a year, I guess. But the new boat is all exciting. It's nearly ready to launch. We'll be launching her in hopefully maybe a little more than a few weeks, but in general, we're down into the last month or two until the boat will launch. She's got a great pilot house.
Yeah.
She's ready for
hybrid
expedition
electric
stuff,
drive.
A hybrid electric drive.
Swing keel, all our boats except for Two Step, our first boat, which was a Sparkman Stevens long full keel design. They've all had swing keels otherwise. We love the freedom of being able to, you know, gunk hole up creeks and little rivers and travel inland waterways, yet we do a lot of ocean passaging. So we have the advantage of a really deep draft for that. So we love
When you want it.
The swing keel. Yeah. So that was a change. That was one of the customizations that we did. We changed the interior layout a little bit. We've been cruising for over 30 years now, and we know all the little things we like. So it's always been a dream to do a boat. And we started off with KM Yachts, excellent boat builders. But we just couldn't change the Best of Air to the customizations we wanted. And then we discovered that Engsail Yachts had the Orion 49, which met most of our criteria. And so it was easier and more affordable to make changes to the Orion 49 than to start from scratch with the team at KM Yachts. But the builders in Macomb, this little town where the boat's being built
in
and
the
where KM
Netherlands.
Yacht is in the Netherlands, they're all very cooperative. So although our boat's being built by Engsail Yachts, KM Yachts use their travel lift to turn the hull. They did some of the rolling work on the aluminum. They all work together. It's a really amazing little place with very skilled people. And
That's brilliant, actually. I mean, the situation as far as those two boat builders are concerned, it was just much easier for you to go with one than the other. But it's very nice that they'll still work together after that. That sounds like a good little workers community.
It's
it
quite a
really
place,
is.
Really. It's a small village, really. I mean, how many population of this town is only a few thousand? And yet they're building the fed ship enormous super yachts. The town is sort of dominated by these two massive factories that are can build a 75 meter long ship. And yet there's three different builders all building in, or four different
four.
builders.
Five little boats,
all building
recreation.
Aluminum sailing vessels and hardy custom boats and tough expedition boats and
the skilled labor sort of works in all of them too. So if one place is busy, they will
They'll
hire
share workers.
freelance people. And then when that contract's
That's amazing.
done, Oh yeah, it's just a fantastic
I've
little
never seen a
paradise.
place like this.
Sounds like
Yeah.
utopia, actually. It sounds
It really is.
it sounds like the
It feels
final
like when we're there.
result.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
That's fantastic.
the sailmakers down the road, we can, and everybody, like you can almost walk to everywhere. So we
And
love
walk
going
everywhere.
to
Or you could at
stay
least
there.
take your bicycle to everywhere.
Yeah,
Because you
yeah.
know they got bike paths everywhere, so you can bike over to the nearby. I think within a short bicycle range, there's probably 10 people who could build our boat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
No
it's
way.
really.
Who could have built the aluminum part of the hull, I mean.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, it's
yeah.
interesting. They sort of subcontract the different work. So the hull, the aluminum hull was built by what is it,
AB
KB
Alubau.
Alubau, who is an expert on aluminum hull building. So they built the hull and they're just down the road. And then it was transported to the paint shop, which is just beside the Gebroeders van Enkhuizen, where Yngsel Yachts is, their manufacturing factory. So, it's everything is all together, but it means if they get a few orders, they can have the, a number of hulls started at the same time because they're done by different shops. And
Yeah.
we went and looked at a few different shops before, we were able to make the deal with KB Alubau. And Cass, the owner of that, is it Cass or Klass? Oseman, forget. Anyway, the owner,
Class.
Klass, the owner used to work at KB Yacht or KM Yachts. So again, there's all this
Yeah, it's just one community.
relationship.
They have such a
Yeah.
high standard, you can't get in there and not do a good job because there's all these other companies that are just doing it to such a
Yeah.
high level, that super yacht
Yeah, that's
level.
really good.
It's rather incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're
Yeah.
super stoked. We're going to be planning the initial voyage of for this summer. We'll be going up north to the Norwegian coast and Lofoten Islands and then up to Svalbard.
Yeah.
Nice.
We're planning the Dan and Kiko will come for a visit at some point and do a
They
leg
would
with us
too.
on board. That'll be great.
Yeah, they've been
Sailing with us.
great inspiration, as have Brian and Keza from Delos and
Oh, with
Andy
their Svalbard
Shum with the
stuff, with the Svalbard
Svalbard stuff.
footage.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the YouTube sailing YouTuber community has been so supportive. Odd Life Crafting has come up, MJ Sailing. It's been really great. So we foresee a
Yeah,
lot
that's
of
brilliant.
collaborations with the new boat and just value their expertise and experience in
Yeah.
places that we haven't been. So
Dooker and Herberta are, I'm sure they're getting it started now. They were actually here about 2 months ago. They were building their camper van at my house.
oh,
Oh,
really? Oh, I didn't realize
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
I
I'm
knew
in the
they were out of
south.
friend.
Well, I'm in the south of Spain, so I'm also friends with Chris and Jenny, who I know that you've met also, and yeah, anyway, they were both here, and then yeah, they went back up to they went back up to France. I'm sure they've started on the build now,
I
or it might
think
be still
they're
messing
just
around with the
about
design,
to. They might
just
be
about
finishing
to.
up the plans, I think, perhaps.
Yeah, there was some. He was a bit unsure about the rig and the keel, which are obviously two important things. So yeah, I think he was waiting a little bit on it. So just I've never ever considered building my own boat, because it's just a lot of work, and I think it would stress me out a lot. But I've always wondered, like, this, you're gonna have a 50-foot expedition boat by the time this thing is finished, and it's gonna
Yeah.
be exactly how you want it, which is probably how most cruisers would want it because you've been doing this for a long time. So if you were to just go and buy a boat like that straight, from the showroom or the boat show, whatever, and then you were to go down the route that you've done, which is, find a builder or approve a design, procurement, all that type of stuff. Like, is there a big cost saving there? Or is it just the case that if you want something a bit more specific, getting it built yourself is the only option because there's nothing really good out there. Although there is some good aluminium boat manufacturers
I
or
think
brands.
it's a matter of getting it done a different way altogether. I mean, working with the Enkhuizen brothers who are building the boat, the price came in around like around roughly around 1 million euros, which is, obviously you can get something a lot cheaper if you're looking for a cruising boat. But in terms of getting it, it was kind of hard to sort of see the price at the beginning because there weren't that many add-ons that you wanted. Instead of everything being an option, like a really complicated, expensive heater for all the cabins, hydronic heating was part of the price, as was a proper sized windlass and chain. And
There were
and
a lot
then
of.
I think the real difference came when we tried to make little changes inside the boat. So there was a sofa on one side of the saloon, and we wanted to not have this extra sofa. We wanted to make it into storage and a place for a little decorative heater. So we said, well, we'd like to do this in here. And they said, okay. So they drew up some ideas, and then we drew on their drawings a little bit, and then they took it back and redrew it again. And then when it came to be, how much is it going to cost? It's like, well, honestly, it wouldn't cost us that much more than doing it the other way. And our guys like to do custom stuff. So it didn't end up adding to the price at all. So their idea was more like you've already paid for a custom boat. So you get a custom boat. You wanted this kind of wood in the background. Well, we weren't really planning on spending that much on wood. So you might pay an extra couple thousand euros just because you're asking for the
Just for the wood.
finest mahogany or something, or the finest teak. But we said we wanted a mahogany type wood, and that was the end of the discussion. It's like,
Very nice.
it didn't turn into a big extra sort of high price for customizations. Because I think a lot of the boats, like the Southerlies, when the Southerlies were built, and we enjoyed our Southerlies, but
We had three of them,
their method of doing the build was totally different. When they wouldn't want to start it until it was all drawn up. And this is right down to everything, like every little piece that you're putting in had to have already had a drawing. The parts were going to arrive pre-cut from the woodworking, computerized woodworking shop, and then the wood people would be assembling it. So you couldn't show up and start saying, well, I wanted like rounded, I want the tops of the doors to have a rounding over. That would have been a major redesign thing. Whereas these guys, they just give it to their woodworking people are so good and love to do extra special stuff.
Yeah, they've dreamt up
So if
some
you tell
really
them
beautiful things that.
they're
I bet they have.
adding on extras that weren't in the original drawings, because their drawings are more of a guideline. It's like, here's going to be a cabinet. So what kind of door finishes do you want? And like, well, any ideas, suggest to us what you
And
want to
we
do.
wanted, we like to have lots of handholds around the boat. And they came up with these beautiful sculptured wood, handhelds and
But
things.
again, it was just part of what the boat was going to be, a customized boat
And the management.
designed to what you wanted to do. And so we've had lots of visits over to the boat, which have been so much fun. And the village is such a cute place to visit anyway. It's just been the most charming experience to watch this boat and help it move along and
And the
get what we want
management
out of it. So,
really lets their workers, be creative and be free. And, it's just we've really got to know the team there, which has added to the pleasure. You were saying earlier, isn't it a lot of work? Well, yeah, it is, but we love this kind of stuff. I mean, we keep building boats, so we love all that process. And
shaking down a new boat is fun, and we like to think that, I mean, when we finished with that last Southerly, it was better than she came out of the factory. I like to think. In this case, I
We
think it's going to be
fixing
pretty
things.
amazing out of the factory, but
But
I'm sure there'll
it's a
be
real
some stuff
pleasure.
that you want to change after a year.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, it'll be
but
natural, yeah.
aluminum's been fun to work with because it's very easy to customize. I mean, because
Oh,
everything
yeah.
is structural, so you can move bulkheads easily and change the layout
There
of
was still
things,
some
which
aluminum
we've
structure in it,
yeah
structural bulkheads,
yeah
but the normal bulkheads, which are built into a fiberglass boat and can't be changed,
Or it's
like you
extremely
just.
expensive to do any changes.
Because it all had to be drawn out in advance, I think that was part of the difference. That was kind of what surprised us about the processes we've gone through the build.
And we like the environmental aspect of aluminum. When they were cutting out the plates, like they save every little screw wrap and it's melted down again. And
Yep.
although these boats, have a lifespan of many, many years, 30, 40, there's even
50
50
years, I think.
years old, they can be, the parts can be melted down and reused, where it's
Yeah.
really hard to, get rid of
Fiberglass is not
fiberglass.
reusable, really.
Yeah. But
Yeah,
great
that's
boats and get
sort of
everyone
a,
out there.
yeah, it's another good way to look at it from that perspective. I mean, I'm not a boat builder, so I don't know how much the price difference is. I mean, if you say like $1 million for like a high class 50-footer, that's less than a halberd grassy. It's less than an oyster. It's less than a lot of those, and they are fiberglass boats at the end of the day. It's not going to be as durable or as strong. It's not going to last as long as an aluminium boat if it's maintained well. So yeah, it sounds like cost-wise, it's actually the right and the smart thing to do.
It's certainly easier
Feeling
to do
good.
a custom project because you can do one of them, like any of those boats, the halbergs and the oysters are lovely, but they still, you can't make one of them. You couldn't build
Yeah.
one boat because you can't build the molds in any. You have to sort of amortize the molds over doing three or four boats as an absolute minimum.
Yeah.
Whereas aluminum, they can do one and they say, wow, it just needed a little bit of a tweak right to the hull. And the fiberglass builder would be saying, we can't change the hull mold. We've just spent a fortune on it. And the aluminum guys would just tweak some of
Don't
the
cut
file, the
it.
cutting files, and it's fixed.
Yeah, and it's
So
done.
it's a bit
Like we
interesting.
have quite a big solar arch. And so the yacht designer changed the width slightly of the transom to improve the buoyancy to counteract the weight of the solar arch. And
Nice.
things like that were
Yeah.
good. And they've sold hull number two of the Orion 49. And the new owner of that boat wants a completely different interior. Like we have a U-shaped galley. He wants a galley down the side. They've moved the main head and shower to the other side of the boat, and it's all very doable. So, it'll be
Yeah.
quite exciting to
Yeah, you
see
could never do
the
that in a
boat.
fiberglass boat. I think it's,
It's it makes sense that they'd actually do that and not charge you extra, because it's like the more customized boats they have, or the more different designs that they're given from customers, it just looks better on their website. Like they've got more options to offer clients, because a lot of people will look at the photo of your boat and they'll be like, well, I don't like where the sofa is on that one, so leave it. Whereas they can be like, we can put this anywhere, look, and so
It
yeah,
is an
it makes a
amazing
lot of
thing.
sense.
I think the builder sometimes has trouble communicating that because the definition of custom in other builders like the Southerly, the custom boat meant that you had your own choice of leather colors
Yeah, you pick
for
your
the
colors,
saloon,
basically.
pick your colors, pick the wood finishings and stuff. Whereas this is really custom out a whole different way.
Completely. So how long have you been living in Holland now?
Well, we've been back and forth. We have a home base in Canada, north
So
of
we're in
Toronto.
Canada
So
now.
we're on
Right,
the
you're in Canada now.
we're on the Trent Severn Waterway, which is part of America's Great Loop, the most northern route of that. So we've been flying back and forth to the Netherlands, and both our families are nearby, so it's
We've been going
been a
every
good
month and a half or 2 months over to check on the boat progress and
time.
see what's going on and visit
Film
the wood.
updates.
Yeah, all kinds of updates that we've put up in the last year and a bit. And then we'll
Yeah,
be over
brilliant.
again in another month and see how it's going now, and hopefully
Yeah, so
launch
this
coming up.
spring launch coming up, and
Have they given you a date yet? Like an actual day of when it should be dropping in the water?
no, it's
No, it's
too.
all
Very
very.
I think it varies too much based on what happens with projects coming along.
The end of
Yeah.
March, they're going to put the boat in the water because they have to adjust and test out the swing
Well, they
keel.
hope to get it in the water and not take it out again, is their hope. But I think there'll still be work to commission, and once the mast gets stepped, and then they can make the head sails, which they didn't want to do until they know exactly how the mast
The rake of the
is raked
mast.
fore and aft. And
So,
so.
people are always asking, are we going to have a launch party? And it's very hard to nail a date for that. So we're going to have a bon voyage party. and invite everyone just before we leave. So after sea
Date to be confirmed.
trials, and
That's got to be something like the 20th or 15th or 20th of May.
We're looking roughly at 24th of May for heading
It's
there.
just like early summer. You're going to be out there cruising on the new boat.
Well, the plan is, we'll have done some cruising around in the intervening time with while work is being still completed.
We'll do sea trials along the north coast of the Netherlands and probably over to the UK.
Nice.
And then when the real time comes for her maiden voyage, we'll head probably straight up north to the west coast of Norway, which we've cruised before. But we both spent that whole summer in full foul weather gear. And I am really looking forward to a summer with this pilot house.
A heated boat with a pilot house and internal helm that you could steer inside and
We've had aluminum boat owners tell us, oh, you'll just be in t-shirts and fuzzy slippers all summer long, no foul weather gear.
We'll see.
So
Unless you want to go
we'll see about that.
outside.
We'll see about that. But it's going to be great because we know we didn't see enough of
We
Norway.
didn't get far enough north. We got up to the Bergen and Sogn Fjord area, so we have another 800 or 600 miles or so just to get to the Lofoten Islands and then another 500 or 600 to Svalbard. So we're super stoked about that. Whales and
Polar
polar bears and
bears.
ice and snow and all that should be really fun.
Yeah, just a completely different type of cruising
Exactly.
from what you've mostly done, really, because it's mostly been like tropical, tropical, like,
Caribbean,
yeah, exactly.
Mediterranean.
Yeah, we did the Baltic one summer, got to Sweden and Denmark, and then the next summer we did Scotland, Ireland, and Norway. But we
Shetland Islands.
definitely, and the Shetland, yeah, we definitely didn't have enough time up north, though. So Norway was just 2 weeks, a 2 week break from Scotland, really. So
So it's
get back
fun, the
quick.
challenge of learning a new boat and cruising new areas. It's
Yeah.
all part of the fun.
Nice. So have you got this boat to be your last boat, or is it always going to be a thing with you guys where let's see in 5 years if we still like it or want a different one?
It's always the plan. It will be the last boat,
Yeah.
but we've said that about three times now, so we're not going to say it this time. And Paul's already designing the Orion 54
Well,
with
yeah,
people,
they've
not for
all, there
us,
had been a
but
plan to do two versions of this Orion, a 49 and a 54, so one with a bit more interior cabin space. We're quite happy with 49 for us.
That's a size the two of us can handle
Yeah,
well.
it's great. We've done a number of Atlantic crossings just with the two of us, as well as doing some with other people as well. But I think 49 is a very comfortable size for us to
Nice. And how
cross.
is this boat going to be for bringing guests on board? Like, are you going to have a couple of guest cabins in there as well, or is it more like one at the front, one at the back?
We have room for two couples to come, and we really
Nice.
enjoy doing our sail away weeks. So we will be doing that a few ye weeks of the
Yeah.
year, again with this new boat. Maybe not the first summer, just as we're learning the boat. And, as we said, we'd like to do some collaborations with some of the other sailing YouTubers. So they'll probably be the guests that we have this year.
Yeah,
And
brilliant.
so that's the plan. And then we'll probably head back south. We do want to get to the Pacific again and actually
Determined.
sail it this
This time
time.
it had better not shut down or have stern words to speak to somebody. Yeah, I
We
think if
just
it does, if anything like that does happen again, I think I'm just not going to pay any attention and I'm just going to carry on exactly with what my plan
I think a
was.
lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, just so all our listeners know, what's the best places to find you on the television, website, YouTube, all the stuff?
On television, we're on AWE Awe TV, which is for A Wealth of Entertainment, and
Nice.
that's just the USA and territories. YouTube is Distant Shores TV, and in fact, our handle for Instagram and Facebook is at Distant Shores TV.
Very cool.
our website is distantshores.tv or
Yes, we've got
.ca.
Instagram. We do Instagram and a little bit Facebook, but
Mainly
mainly
Instagram
YouTube.
and YouTube.
Nice. And if they want to book some time on your boat, or and if they want to come cruising with you, they do that through the website, yeah? Yeah.
We have
Great.
on the drop-down menu it's Sail Away Weeks
That's on
and
distantshores.ca
or
or
dot TV.
distantshores.tv.
Yeah, they both go to the same. Yeah.
Nice. Well, but listen, it was really nice talking to you. All of our mutual friends have said how nice you are, and that we should do a
Oh.
podcast. And I agreed with everyone. I was like, yeah, I know. I should have asked them to do this years ago. So
Oh,
my
it's been
apologies for
great.
not asking you sooner.
Oh, well,
I've been
you're
busy as
very,
well.
you certainly have. Yeah, I'm sorry we missed you at the Annapolis show, but we'll definitely connect this coming October. So.
Yeah, I'll be going to it this year again. We'll be doing something else there as well. So, I look forward
Great.
to meet you as well.
That'll be
Okay.
great.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure, Andy. And
Yeah,
all the
cool.
best with your cruising plans.